are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Knicks fan forum, the Bleed Blue Show, the Knicks fan forum post game Knicks win over the Miami Heat. Steve and Chris, Chris and Steve, however you want to say it. It's the Bleed Blue Show. Got the stakeholders discuss a little bit Knicks basketball. Chris, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey man, I'm loving tonight. We surpassed last year's complete win total, man. I actually got me excited. I'm loving what I'm seeing.
Oh sure, really fantastic. I really didn't realize that we surpassed win total last year. I did not realize that.
Yeah. They kind of enjoyed 18 and 19.
Gotcha. The Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com, Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus at the Bleed Blue Show. You can subscribe to the Bleed Blue Show episodes. If you don't want to go to the website on bleedblueshow.com/podcast, you can go to iTunes. Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps to your smartphone devices. Let these episodes automatically go right to those apps or under the Bleed Blue Show. So it goes right to your phone, man. And it's a great listen to the shows. Chris, as you know, the Knicks won. Real quick, before I get into any Knicks basketball, we bring on stakeholders. But let me say this. Yankees episode is in the archives of iTunes, Podcast Republic, and TuneIn. We'll put it on the website soon. The episode with the Yankees with Steve Chris and Mr. New York Yankees Talk. Also, I got to shout out the Rangers. I didn't have a chance to shout them out.
Right,
I actually came home and watched that whole game last night after watching the Knicks beat the Hawks.
Dude,
I'm tired, man. So I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna probably pretty much get as much as I can say tonight, right out of the way right now. I'm gonna let the Knicks fans ride tonight. It was a good win versus the Miami Heat. But yeah, good win for the Rangers, and you know, congratulations to the Rangers last night. Derek Stepan went off. So it's been a pretty good week thus far for the Knicks and the Rangers, and of course, you know, our Giants shows. Cap off the season. That episode's on the website as well. The NFL show, Wild Card Weekend on Thursday. We'll have some fun with that. It's all about the Knicks tonight. It's all Knicks. Let's go all Knicks.
All about the Knicks.
Quick thoughts on the Knicks tonight.
No. Quick thought. I hear the podcast sometimes when I can't get on about the during the week with the Knicks, and I hear a lot of back and forth about the golly, these lineup changes and what is Fisher doing with this and what is Fisher doing with that. But I gotta tell you, I like what I saw in terms of the front court tonight, in terms of the balance that they were displaying. Between Carmelo, Derek Williams, Lopez. And KP, I like the fact that there was some kind of balance and camaraderie there. They didn't look confused. They didn't look they were trying to just maintain a lead and just to lose it in the fourth quarter. They looked a little bit more confident than usual. And I really, really enjoyed that. I also really see Lopez and Williams sort of like getting a little bit of a step in their stride a little bit in terms of approaching this new year, with more of a leadership role, I guess. I'm not a full one, but at least being comfortable in their particular roles on the court. So I like what I saw, man. I was appreciative of that. I liked it tonight because it wasn't against a Sacramento Kings team. No offense to the Kings fans, but it was actually against a somewhat formidable Eastern opponent. And that helped out. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's
I want to bring on the source for the street for New York Knicks. But I want to add on to that. I think Derek Fisher has finally saw the tweets to his Twitter handle from the Bleed Blue Show to play Derek Williams with Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, everything I wanted to see – well, not to say everything, but most things I wanted to see out of Derek Fisher, we have gotten to see over the last week. He's probably been reading the Bleed Blue Show tweets to play him, man. Play him or else. Everything's or
that's
else
right.
In 2015-16.
Let's bring on the Chief.
Get his stars. I know he's got to be happy doing backflips over there. The Knicks win. Source for the Streets. What's up, man?
Gentlemen.
First of all,
good evening and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We haven't talked in a while, but I think I like to start off this evening my little rant, my little soliloquy with.
Please take your time. Take your time.
How about them Knicks?
Knicks? How about them?
Three in a row, back to back victories on a back to back night. On top of that, against
That's right.
Formidable.
That's right.
Established. And very good Eastern Conference teams, because make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, the Atlanta Hawks were the best team in the Eastern Conference last year.
The Miami Heat were a year removed
from being the four-time Eastern Conference champions. I know it's a different story now that LeBron's not there anymore, but let's call it a spade a spade. The Miami Heat are an Eastern Conference contender. It seems to be that Steve is absolutely correct. It looks like Derek Fisher has either been paying attention to our tweets or really did not like the results of the poll that I casted a couple of weeks ago of, is it time to get rid of Derek Fisher? Let's just put it like this. I hope that tonight Derek Fisher shuts us up in terms of that, because he has shortened down the rotation. He has been playing Derek Williams a whole lot more. Derek Williams is playing a lot more defense and playing more efficiently. I mean, come on, 13 points in 18 minutes. Yes, last night he scored 16 points in 16 minutes. That's efficiency. The Knicks are rebounding the ball. They're out-assisting their opponents. They're holding opponents to 11% three-point shooting. Now, given the fact that Miami's only shot 2-for-17, but This is not just a one isolated incident. This is a reoccurring theme with the Knicks with the perimeter defense. And I'm just loving how now people are starting to recognize Carmelo Anthony as more than just the most prolific scorer of the modern day era. They're looking at him as a complete package player.
Yes.
25 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Last night against Atlanta, he flirted with a triple double again. It was probably a couple of shows ago where it was just you and me, and maybe one other person, where I was hoping I could finally say this. I think it's safe to say it. I'm checking my son. My son's looking at me kind of weird. It's like, what are you going to say? Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's safe to say the Knicks are back.
It's early
into 2016. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm feeling optimistic right now. 2015 is over. The misery of the 17 game win season last year is gone because we hit 18 today. So I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. I'm probably gonna eat my words later, but
I'm feeling really good right now. No, you're not that far off. I'm not gonna say you're far off, Knickerbocker, because this team, if we saw the real deal tonight, which something that was ended about 5 minutes ago, if that was the real deal, if that's what we've got to look forward to going from here on, then you are absolutely correct. Because what I saw tonight was no confusion, no disarray. They played as a team. They knew everyone was looking. I didn't really see the first half that well. But the second half, I can truly tell you, and you saw what I saw.
Yep.
They were looking out for each other in terms of where is the open man? How can we get to him? How can we finish with this execution? I love that. So, if this wasn't a fluke and this is what we're actually going to see all the time, Knickerbocker Ave, you are right. You are sage.
I'm not going to jump that far. And it's not because I don't believe Knickerbocker Ave. I just don't trust the head coach. I got to see more.
Now,
I
knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what it comes down with me. This is Steve speaking on that. Let me say this. Now, you have a huge test on Friday, and I'm thinking about attending that game at San Antonio. I'm thinking about it. But I don't know, man. Heat went. That's nice back-to-back wins, Atlanta and Miami, and it's needed. It's about time, but I got to see more. And more from the coach, not necessarily the players, because I know the players got the potential. It's a matter of Fisher playing the right guys. There's some things I still want to see differently, but the last few games, it's been all right. It's been okay. Because he's been pushing the right buttons. Even the timeouts have been good. Very good timeouts by Fisher. Not second-guessing himself, not over-coaching. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of over-coaching. He didn't do that tonight. I thought he was real timely on his pursuit tonight. He had a good feel of momentum. He had a good feel on when to slow down the comeback from the Miami Heat. I thought Fisher did a good job tonight, although there's some things I still would rather see. That's me being honest, but he has to continue to play Derek Williams, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, damn, that's the same thing we've been saying all summer.
Yeah.
You got to play him more. And you got to play Melo less. That's another thing. But I don't want to have to harp on that on episode. You could hear me say that 20 times on Knicks Fan Forums and Archive. Hey, nice win, Knicks, over to Miami Heat, 98-90. Let's see. I want you to fire away as much as possible. Before you do, let's bring on another caller and then get their perspective on the Knicks win. But I definitely got a lot to ask you, Knickerbocker Evan Chris. Let's bring on Jeremy. I think he's happy, too. Good win, Chief. How you doing, sir? How's everything?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I'm feeling,
Jeremy.
Feeling pretty high up there, man. I'm excited.
Yes, sir.
You know, we beat a season of aching from last year. We got 18 wins, man. Woohoo.
That caught me off guard. I didn't realize.
A little bit.
It did. It caught me off guard, too. I'm happy for him.
Sorry about that. I'm just happy, man.
What is it about tonight's game that you really was impressed with the win? Tell us your thoughts on the game.
Shutting down Hassan Whiteside. That's where it all started. Robin Lopez. He scored early. Mm-hmm. He kept on rolling. And we just shut him down. We ate up the paint. And we took this win.
What's your thoughts as far as the way they neutralized Whiteside as best as possible? He's a load. He's a load, man, down there. So
He's Whiteside's a problem for anybody. I did see a lot of and Lopez kind of switching off on and off with him, and then there were times where Kyle O'Quinn had him at him a little bit. But then you saw Porzingis switch to the five and guarding a lot of Bosch, and that was a little bit of a mistake. That was probably one of the biggest issues that I saw tonight. But they neutralized Whiteside. They had to deal with Bosch. It's a handful trying to get one of those guys. You were able to, to trade off a Whiteside, double-double for a Chris Bosch, 28-5, and a victory. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. Chris, anything you'd like to add? We'll bring on the next caller, and I'm going to
I'm daydreaming. I just want to say I was daydreaming about something that Knickerbocker alluded to earlier. Well, let me tell you something. Knickerbocker Ave, I'll come over there and kiss you, man, if they beat the Spurs, dude. If they did that, Matt, then you would have called it like the best soothsayer psychic. Yeah. Man, you need your own commercial, your own show. You need a Swami hat. You need that whole joint. Man, I just was thinking about that. I don't know why I drifted to that. I said, man, that's all they need. Because what I'm thinking of is about, what kind of confidence booster would that be for this franchise, man? Not just the team, everybody. Like, whoa. Four in a row and then that team too? I'm just thinking, just guessing out loud, just dreaming out loud. Just dreaming out loud. That's all I got, Steve.
I don't even want to combine that one. 929-477-4171. We will bring on the next stakeholder, one of the biggest stakeholders of this platform, a huge nigga.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear from this guy. I want to hear what he has to say. Marlo, what's going on? Welcome back to the Fan Forum.
Hello, sir.
Almost a complete 180 from last year, how we were on these shows trying to find ways to discuss losses. we're already at the point, as Chris alluded to and Jeremy alluded to. Congrats on the win, man. How you doing?
Oh, man. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, no, you're good.
Steve,
yeah,
Chris,
how you doing, sir?
Knickerbocker, hey. Av, of course, Media Assassin, and Jeremy's on there too, right?
Yes,
sir.
Yep.
All right, what's up? Oh, man, this was a great win. And first, before I say anything, yo, Amari, how does that bench taste, man? How does it feel? I'm going to call you sitting tall and I'm in traction, because that's basically what you are. I'm loving it, especially what I said. I assume usually sets it well, because he talks about Tim Hardaway Jr., but I'm loving how it's like our Knicks cast-offs are sitting on benches somewhere in the dumpster. And especially after Stat was throwing shade at Melo all offseason. Melo was at least
that's
a class
right.
act and acknowledged him and gave him a hug before the game. But, you know, he can't even tie Melo's sneakers. At an ungrateful jackass. He should be in jail for all the money that he robbed from Dolan. But I digress on that. Guys, one of the things that is so good about this victory, which I wanted so badly, not only did get this win, but we did this on national stage. This was on TNT. We've been watching the Knicks on MSG, and we've been watching, but it seems like they don't play well when the spotlight is biggest on them. This is proof now that what we've been seeing, you know, this is now telling the world that, hey, you know what? This team could have something going. Now, I know BSPN is going to say probably make up something like Miami was tired or whatever. They'll probably make something up, or they'll start jumping on the bandwagon, one of the two. But this was good because it was on the national stage, not just MSG, not just Knicks fans were watching it. Everybody watched this game. And
that's
the defense is amazing. Robin Lopez and a follow Derek Williams. They're just all clicking. That's what I was saying. As much as things were going back and forth, I was like, guys, let's just hold on at least until midseason. Let these guys get a chance to gel and see what happened. And you know what? That Bulls game was the best thing to happen to them because Derek Fisher called them out. And they got – it's like gut check time. It's like, you know, what are we going to do, guys? Are we going to be like who we were, or are we going to try to do something? Because they have changed ever since. And Carmelo, I can't speak enough about Melo, especially someone who's fought and defended this man for all these years. And even some of the stuff I criticized him about, he's passing. He's calling his troops together. He's just doing everything, rebounding. I mean, how can you not say – and, you know, and it's funny. The other day I saw some idiot's blog. The blog was actually good. He was talking about Melo, but one of the comments was, oh, Melo's nothing but a ball hog. And all I saw was defense from all people. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, you might not be watching Knick games because Melo's doing everything. You're an idiot and all this other stuff. I'm like, what? Usually that's just me saying that against the world. But, I mean, he is doing so many good things, man. I cannot say how good that man is playing and what he's doing for this team. I mean, his hands are just about involved in every facet of this game, and that's what we need to keep this thing going. I'm just really happy about it.
I'm really happy that the game was won in front of future Knicks head coach Mark Jackson, by the way. Former head coach Jeff Van Gundy. Let's go back around. Let's go back to the infamous Knickerbocker. Have anything else you would like to add before we go on and bring on other callers?
Well, it was just put like this. All three of these wins, you know, the game at home against Atlanta, the game last night against Atlanta, and tonight's game against Miami. Something that I noticed that was very good. The Knicks stopped being a one-dimensional team, and what I mean by that is that they stopped operating, you know, predominantly and exclusively in the half court. They started to do the run more. Tonight they had 11 fast break points versus Miami's 8. I think last night they had 16 fast break points. They're actually running and pushing the tempo. They're running their style of game as opposed to running a conventional setup and pop and everything. You know, they're being more proactive as opposed to being somewhat reactive, and it's paying dividends. Three-game winning streak, and you know, against two Eastern Conference heavyweights, and I'm liking our chances on Friday night. Even though it's hard to sit, you know, and fathom that they could probably beat San Antonio on their home court since they're undefeated there, but it's possible. I like our chances. They're due for a loss.
All right, Chris, anything you'd like to add? We'll go back around the gym.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, man, look, we had a very, very nice win. Once again, we had a very, very nice win against a formidable opponent from the East. And, look, that's enough for me tonight, man. That's like birthday cake, man. I'm good. I'm good. I really am.
Now, so. I also want to add, and somebody brought it up on past fan forums with Aaron Aflalo, and we found a comfortable spot with him, let's say, on the like a little bit above the high block. His turnaround jumpers, it's automatic, but he looks more comfortable in the role of playing intermediate versus about 10 games ago or so. He was forcing a lot of threes. And I'm glad he's cut down on the three-point shots, and his shot selection has looked a lot better. And because of his scoring, his threat on the floor, around the block, the elbow, he's been looking real good. He's been a tough matchup for, like, Kyle Korver the last two games. The game, he scored 38. It was hard for him to handle. He didn't really go off tonight, played a lot of minutes, but that threat was always there tonight, him playing 40 minutes. And it opens up a lot of things when they put him in specific positions on the floor. And that's one of the things I really see that's really opening things up for the Knicks tonight. I mean, just the last couple of games. And they're pushing the right buttons. But it's not just the right players that needs to be on the court, but it has to be putting players in the right positions on the court. Not just the players. You could throw any five out there. But having Aaron Aflalo in the post, like a small post, wherever it's a shooting guard, a small four. That's what I really see. That's what I really saw in the games I've seen, whether it was versus the Cleveland or even Atlanta the other night. Like right there, I said, "Oh man, this is good stuff right here." And it takes a lot of pressure off of Carmelo. He doesn't have, like Av said, he doesn't have to force a lot of the pressure. And I said it all in the offseason too. I'm gonna go back to Jeremy. I said it in the offseason. Like I'm cool with Carmelo scoring. He had 25 tonight. Somebody said, I didn't even look at the box score. He had 25.
Yeah. Something like that.
If he averages 24 to 25 points tonight, the Knicks are going to be unbeatable. They're going to be very tough to stop. And this is kind of what I kind of envision. There's other tweaks I want to see more, but this is the type of game I want to see more, where Carmelo is around 23 to 25 points and his assists going up. And This really doesn't surprise me. It really surprises me that the fact that Derek Fisher is finally coming to his senses. That's the part that surprises me. Because I thought he was going to be so stubborn, he wasn't going to do this with the lineups and then putting him on the floor. But Jeremy, what's your thoughts on the last couple of games versus Atlanta? Also on this winning streak after losing to Chicago, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's weird, man. I mean, the Chicago loss, that was bad. I mean, 8 points in the fourth quarter, that was atrocious. With Melo in the fourth, and they only scored eight. I mean, it's a great bounce back, too, man. But one thing I've seen in this game, now we mentioned all the positives, but our second unit is still having trouble scoring. I mean, I remember it was this lineup. It was Kyle Quinn, Derek Williams, Aaron Aflalo, Grant, and Galloway, and they started to run the ball, but then when they started missing, they slowed down, and then they gave up the lead a little bit coming into the half. But, I mean, we still got a lot to learn. I'm happy with Fisher's rotation, you know, not putting in all 14 guys or however many we got. I do agree. I still want to see more Derek Williams. I mean, he produced a lot for us. And another thing is the mental toughness of Porzingis. Now, he didn't have much of a like field goal game, I mean, in terms of shots, but he was mentally tough. And, I mean, he got crapped on by Hassan Whiteside, but he still manages to do his damage, like, in other areas. And he's still a big help, no matter if he's hitting or not. So he's mentally tough. That's a good thing coming from a rookie. I still want to see Grant with more confidence. That's a biggie for me, man. And with Melo playing a lot of minutes, now we might look at it saying, oh, 38 minutes, he was slaving out there, but everybody else was scoring. He didn't have to do all the scoring. Usually when he plays 38 minutes in terms of when he had no help, he held the ball every possession. I mean, he's having help. So I think that's not putting a toll on him as much as before. He's passing. Everybody's passing. I think it's less fatigue when you're passing more. So we're looking good, man. So I want to see more, though.
All right, we'll go to Marlo. Marlo, any points you would like to add off of tonight's win versus the Miami Heat?
Well, I just saw a stat, at least for the first half. The Knicks were plus 18 with Melo on the floor, and they were minus 10 without him. So that's what I'm saying. He's just, this is just unbelievable. And, again, it's not like this was Melo's fault. It's the quality of the team that you had around him. You know, and this is the first time he has, like, a good, high basketball IQ type people. And as much as it was a controversial trade to get rid of Shump and JR, I think that kind of lit a fire under Melo, too, because those are his friends, you know, besides
right.
his teammates. So he had
right.
to pull those guys. So Phil probably knew, which we didn't know. You know, for Melo to stand on his feet, he's got to get his boys out of there. And now,
right.
you know, surround him with all new. So Melo knows he's got to take it. You know, he didn't want him regressing back into, not saying that this happened. It's just a theory that I'm thinking of. But I think that was part of it. I mean, I still think it was dumb to trade them both to the same team. But I think that was
yeah.
really part of doing that because it was like, you know, these are his boys. We want Melo to separate himself and take himself to that next level. And I'm telling you, I said this before, and I'll say it again. I know Phil Jackson had that same conversation with Melo that he had with Michael Jordan and he had with Kobe Bryant. Score a lot, big deal. Win a scoring title, that's nice. But if you want to win championship, get everybody involved. You can get yours anytime you want. Let the game come to you. Get everybody involved. And Melo's buying into it because these guys have, not only are they good players, because you got to follow. A follow is better than Shumpin' and JR. He's more consistent. Mm-hmm. And but he's not as good a defender as Shump, but still, he's decent. You got Lopez. You got some good two-dimensional players now. So, you know, you get them involved, they'll help you out. The game will become easier to you. The triangle also helps the game become easier to you, and you're going to add more years to your basketball life. So Jeremy made a good point. You know, even though he played the 38 minutes, it's not like Melo was jacking up shots and making his arm go out because of all the points that he had to do like he's done in the past. He's been doing passing. He has energy to block. He has energy to defend. He has energy to steal. He has energy to rebound. So I'm telling you, him buying in is the best thing that happened right now, and I'm hoping that this thing continues.
That's definitely hope it continues. This is the Knicks Fan Forum, the Knicks win, beating the Miami Heat, the team I can't stand in this league. Well, that's probably going to be the rest of my life. We're going to bring on another Nick. We'll bring another caller in. Let's bring in the caller from the 646. Let's bring on Anthony. Anthony, what's going on? Welcome to the Knicks Fan Forum, Knicks win.
Yes, they did. Welcome. I want to say Happy New Year to all you guys. And
Happy
this
New
is my
Year.
First
New Year to you, Anthony.
Thank you. This is my first podcast, so I'm new to all this, so happy to be
here.
Oh,
good.
All it is really sports bar talk on this show. We call the Blue Show. That's all it is.
Okay. This win was just great. I'm glad they're starting to gel more better, and it was just, especially after that Chicago, like, fourth quarter debacle. Like, I couldn't understand. I'm just like, what's going on? No one's scoring or anything. And then Derek Fisher finally did something right. He tore into his guys, you know, in the locker room. And then they came out against the Hawks and beat them. And then we beat these three teams. They needed a loss from us because, they like, basically smoked us last games. And they just, like, wiped the floor with us. So it was a much-needed, like, vengeance against them. And a key thing from the first Hawks game that we played, I like when Grant and KP run the pick and roll. It's deadly. I love when they do. That's the one thing I would like to see more of, because it works, and I think that helps Grant's game more better, because he's able to he drives and then he kicks it back out to KP, and then KP was able to get into a rhythm and it tempo for that game.
You know, cool. I definitely agree. That's one of the things I was talking about, guys. I want to see Grant more in line up with Derek Williams and as Kristaps Porzingis, because he's right. Because him, Grant is not – he's going to only rub off this confidence. I think he's mature enough to if he plays more – you got to play more minutes. You can't play 10 minutes a night and not and expect them to still be, you know, good or whatever. And I agree with that point. I think they have a camaraderie, too. Chris could allude to it. Both coming in as rookies, they got to know each other in the offseason. I think that's what Grant wants to play with him and get more involved. And I think they could rub off each other, too, especially in the pick and roll. That's just going to open up another dimension that Fisher has not used yet. And that's part of the reason why I feel the way I feel. Because Grant was a great pick and roll player at Notre Dame. That's all he did.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. He's dominant in that role. I agree with you, Anthony. Let's go back around the fan forum and get those thoughts on. Knickerbocker, what's your thoughts on Grant and Porzingis getting playing time together more?
Well, I think it was Jeremy who brought it up earlier that you know he wanted Grant to show more confidence. Well, if you're only going to get more confidence if you get more minutes, if you get held to 8 minutes in the first half, then of course you're not going to get into that game flow. You're not going to get be able to set up get into those sets where he starts to feel that confidence. He can run that pick and roll with Porzingis, which is something that Fisher alluded to before the first Hawks game, was that he was going to bring Porzingis out of the early in the first quarter and early into the second quarter, so they can play a little bit more with the second unit, so that way they have a go-to scorer and they can run that pick and roll between him and Grant. And then you can also add Lance Thomas on there, what he calls off the bench. That didn't happen tonight because he, again, left Grant on the bench and played more of I'm glad he's playing Derek Williams a whole lot more and kind of limiting a little bit of Lance Thomas, because sometimes Thomas can be a little bit too much. But tonight, the minutes distribution was something that I found very interesting. I mean, all the starters had 30-plus minutes. Aflalo had 40. Melo had 37. Lopez had 35. Calderon had 35. Porzingis had 31. Then Thomas and Williams had 18. Galloway had 14. And then Grant 8 and Kylo Quinn 5. I'm not going to argue with the formula because it's a victory, but at the same time, you could have shaved some of those minutes off Aflalo and easily have given it to Grant, considering that, you know, Aflalo had a 4-for-10 shooting night. He only scored 9 points. 40 minutes. Yeah, he was a little bit better defensively against Dwayne Wade, especially when they ran the switch on defense. But to keep your players fresh down the fourth quarter, because what happened in Chicago? The guys got gassed. They had nothing coming out of the fourth quarter. Even leading, I think they were leading by 11 or 12, and they got gassed. And only held to 8 points. It wasn't because Chicago's defense was that much smothering, although it's a good defense. It was because they were just plain old gas, because he overused his starters. They had nothing going on offensively, so that affected them mentally. When it came to defense, they were out rebounded, they were out hustled in the Chicago game. So what happened when they came back on Sunday against Atlanta? They played more. The minutes were distributed a whole lot more easier and more evenly amongst the 8 or 9 players that he's sticking to his rotation. That's what he needs to get back to, which would make Steve absolutely right when it comes to why he doesn't trust Derek Fisher completely, just because he, along with the team being inconsistent at times, he's extremely inconsistent. He's very erratic. The one thing you'll know, he'll drive his starters to the ground. But when it comes to his bench players, he needs to be able to play the right personnel in key positions. Play Porzingis more with the second unit. It's not going to hurt him. You have why go small when everybody, when they're going small? Keep the biggest advantage that you have is that Kristaps Porzingis is 7'3" with an enormous wingspan, and he can take you out to the outside. Utilize that. Why not? It's only gonna pay better dividends, and then you're gonna be looking at your this year's rookie of the year.
Yeah, definitely. See, Miles, anything else you would like to ask, sir? And then we'll go back around.
No, I'm just enjoying the show. I'm listening to you guys. But I do have an observation I thought was pretty humorous, man. I think in the fourth quarter or so, yeah, it was in the fourth quarter, maybe about three times, Justice Winslow, after a while, had to be saying, damn, is this really the NBA? He couldn't do anything with Melo, man. He got bumped once, pushed a little bit, probably got shit talked to him, but we didn't hear that part. But he kept getting jumpers smashed in his face. And after a while, he had this look on his face like, I got a lot of things to learn here. So I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I saw it.
I definitely saw that. But I will give Winslow a little bit of credit, because in the first two games against the Knicks, he had better defensive moments against Melo. But then But tonight, since Melo was dishing the ball more and he was playing more off the ball as opposed to playing the ISO Melo that we're also accustomed to, he had no answer to that, because now with Melo being free, he had to keep his eye on him. It was hard to keep him in front of him. It was hard to do anything. It was hard to box him out. So whenever Melo was getting the ball back from him, it was curtains for Winslow. Winslow had no answers. Neither did Whiteside, because there were times where he switched off on Melo and he was getting freaking schooled to death.
I tell you, I guess that's a testament to the involvement of the Knicks right now. The maturity that what they're trying to do as a team, which is be a team. So I'm very pleased, man. But no, I'm just listening to you guys, man. I'm getting off on this. I like this.
All right, cool, man. Let's go back to Jeremy. Jeremy, I got a couple of questions for you, man, as far as what's your thoughts on Calderon over the last week, the way he's played down the stretch of some of these games. What's your evaluation on Mr. Calderon? And then another question on Lopez, but we'll go with Calderon first, and then we'll go back to Marlo.
Well, with Jose Calderon, whenever he's open, he hits his shot. It's as simple as that. He played 35 minutes tonight. He took 5 shots. He made 4 of them. He had a plus-minus rating of plus 14. He's doing a good impact. He was guarding up pretty well today. I believe he had that steal and a little finger roll.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, you remember that. He's had a good impact compared to the beginning of the year. He's not as sluggish. His defense is not locked down, but he's holding his own and it's helping the team overall. It's like everybody has bought into this pass first type of offense, and it's looking good as a whole. And he's just another factor in it.
But just look at the competition he's got up against. He's up against, Jeff T twice, and now tonight he had Goran Dragic, and look what he was able to do to both of them. His defensive efficiency, we know it's Matador defense, but it has improved. And it seems like whenever these Brandon Jennings talks, which are now starting to becoming more and more real, but the more you hear about it, the more he's like reacting to it, because he's putting up either 14 points and 5 assists, or he's having a good game defensively, or he's just looking for a shot more. He's answering the bell, and if we can only get that, all season long, except when it's coming to trade talks, I think that we can stop talking about trading Jose Calderon for anytime soon.
Oh no, we can't, because when you play well, you can actually use him as a bargaining chip. This is a good thing.
True.
That's right. But until the
players to be named, for the trade is something better than a Brandon Jennings, I would probably say.
Better than that. You could do better.
Yeah,
than
exactly.
That. Let me also to Jeremy's point. I'm gonna go back to Jeremy and then go to Marlo. But I'm not trying to make Jose Calderon to be Michael Cooper or anything. I'm not saying he's no lie.
No,
but I think Jeff T, this was, I'm talking about last night's game. This was the first time, I think it said 2 years, he did not have an assist in the game. As a matter of fact, he didn't even play down the stretch. in that Hawks game on Tuesday night. I mean, Jeff Teague ain't played on the stretch. He was so ineffective. Calderon, for whatever reason, just his play, he's done a decent job versus opposing point guards the last couple of games. He's done decent. I give him that. And go back to Jeremy, and then we'll go to Marlowe. Jeremy, what about Robin Lopez? I mean, he was looking pretty good in the post with his good footwork. He has nice soft touch.
Yeah, he was.
Well, what's your thoughts on Lopez tonight, Jeremy? We'll go back and go back to Marlowe and then Anthony.
If it was up to me, man, Robin Lopez, player of the game, man. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he took as many shots as Melo, and he was 9 for 12. Melo was 9 for 12. I mean, he tore up and he broke down the paint. That opened up shots on the outside. And he was the player of the game. He got two blocks. His footwork has been nice. That little hook shot has been going in. It's falling down. I mean, he's looking more like the Robin Lopez that we know, you know, that was on Portland. He's playing better. Hopefully he keeps it up. And he had the best plus-minus rating behind Melo. So it's good to have him on the floor. You know, before in December and November, he didn't have much of an impact, but he's doing much better now.
You know, as to add on to your point, also, I thought he kept Hassan Whiteside off balance. Hassan Whiteside is, you know, he can jump a little something. He's a defensive presence. And I thought Lopez was very patient with him on the block. He took his time, then rushed shots. But I thought he did a good job, like you said, because he shot 75% from the field. Very freaking good. Very good.
Yeah.
We needed that interior presence. I'm with you on that, man. Go ahead. If you have another thought, then we'll go to Marlowe.
Okay, well, really quick. That's who Lopez is, you know. He takes his time. He's not the most athletic center, but he's poised. He got fundamentals, and he did keep Hassan Whiteside off balance and off of his game pretty much the whole night. I mean, he of the season, Porzingis gets a lot of rebounds because Robin Lopez is boxing out down low. I mean, he's just that poised kind of do-it-all center that's not always on the statistics, per se. It's helping us out. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go back to Marlon and then go to Anthony. But, Marlon, what about your thoughts on Calderon and Lopez as well?
Well, you know, I was Calderon's biggest critic.
Yes, you were.
And it's nice to see him being aggressive. I still think they should, you know, try to give Wharton at least a glance, you know, Mike, to add him on, because I think with Clay Anthony early, they should have almost two roster spots. Am I right, Nick Rock Ave? Because he won't be able to play.
He's going to be out for about 6 to 12 weeks with that gunshot wound to his knee.
Mm-hmm. And lessons to him that it wasn't as more serious than it was. So thank God Clay Anthony's still with us, because that's pretty scary. But besides that, I would think that they would have like about two spots. So I'm kind of hoping for a Wharton thing. But, you know, it still hasn't shaken me from wanting to go all out for Mike Conley during his off season, because Mike Conley, I think, will take the next team to the next level. But, again, Calderon, it's great to see that he's being aggressive, at least, and he's being very efficient. I mean, that drive to the basket that he did against Atlanta, I was like, who was that?
Hey, man.
I was like, it looks like Calderon, but I don't know who that was going to the basket. But I think it's a little bit of them gelling and getting with each other, you know, a little bit more. And Robin Lopez, you know, it's like he's been working on that hook shot. That hook shot, he's very versatile. And, you know, it's not like a sky hook. It's like, you know, he did his pivot foot a few times, his footwork. He's just a really good player, you know. And, you know, that's why I don't understand why people are so down on the signing of him. He does so many different things on there. And you know, like they said, LaMarcus Aldridge, one of the reasons why he had such a great he did so good last few seasons because they said Robin Lopez helped him be so efficient because of all the work that he did, but he just didn't get the credit for it.
Yeah.
So, I'm very impressed. And Nick Makaev, I hear you about with the minutes and stuff, but the, you know, I think Fish wanted to win this game. And, you know, they brought that up in the after game. It's like before, early in the season, Fish would leave the bench in a little bit too long. And then all of a sudden the game would get out of hand. So he had to get those. He had to get the starters back in because, like, Grant did well against Atlanta because he was penetrating. But, again, the Miami defense, you know, when you go up against a good defensive team, they take Grant out of it. And he'll learn. But some certain games you just can't take chances because I think Fish knew, too, this is – well, we're doing something good. We had two feel-good wins, and, you know, partially it's a national stage. This is big for his team to show and prove. So he didn't want to have any mess-ups. So I think, you know, that's why he had to do that quick timeout. And his timeouts were good, but, you know, he had to get the stars in. Now, Derek Williams, I still feel, needs to play more minutes.
How many minutes are you thinking about for Derek Williams?
He should be hovering still. Like, I mean, how many did he play today? Like 13 or something?
Nah, he played like 20. Maybe 20.
He played 20?
18, 19.
Okay, so that was good. He got a good chunk of minutes. Okay, so that's good. I'm good like
he's
around
gonna do more.
That. But I just feel that he should have like the most minutes off the bench because his energy and being the fact that he's the most athletic and the most versatile and the last year, you know, believe, you know, Steve, I got to shout you out because you tweeted that yesterday about how we've been wanting to see Melo and Derek Williams on the floor at the same time because that's dangerous when they're on there together.
Yeah. Of course.
Because, I mean, you got two prolific scorers and, you know, two athletic guys who can, you know, when they put, you know, who can do a decent job, at least with defense. But when you got those two on the offensive end, it causes a lot of mismatch problems. So, you know, that was a good thing. So, you know, I look forward to more of that, and we'll just, you know, see how this team goes.
You saw that tonight, and you saw that last night, where Carmelo could be on the wing or maybe in the corner, and now you know Carmelo's looking for his players, and I know the teammates trust him with Carmelo's looking for his other teammates, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And you'll see it time and time again where Derek Williams come to the hole and do some sick dunk. Some reverse dunk. And those dunks are not just no regular dunk. It's like some sort of, you know, I just dunked in your face, son. You about to get hit with this momentum swing dunk. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, he has an impact, man, and I'm glad to see this more and more. And I want to go back to Anthony, get his thoughts as far as Calderon and Lopez too. But also anything you want to look right now as a Knicks summary from the start of the season up until now, what's your expectations on the Knicks going forward from what you've already seen thus far this season?
Going forward, I mean, it seemed pretty promising in the beginning. It was like a little, you know, a little sketchy at times. But I think now that since Fisher, like, went to this, like, rotation and he got a group of guys that he wants to play, it should be a little bit better now because before he's playing 13 guys and saying in reports that, oh, this, I think that gives us a team. I think that gives us an advantage. We can play 13 guys. Like, no, like, you don't need to play 13 guys. Like, 8, 9, or 10 guys. 6 of those guys. It shouldn't be, why you got to empty out your whole bench for, like, the whole game? You shouldn't do that. So I think, like, now it should be so much better now because he got an actual group of guys that he wants to stick with. And they also developing chemistry since they're playing – stretches for long periods of time. So it could be good things can happen now, I think. And with Calderon, I mean, I'm not a prime supporter of him either because of his defense, but he's been doing good so far. I mean, like now he's been doing good. I mean, especially the 3-point, like when he does that pump fake behind the arc and his defender goes for it, I'm like, that's vintage Toronto Raptor Calderon right there. And then when he did that layup, I was just like, He went to the basket. He made a layup. Who is that? I mean, and as much as he maintains his dribble, and sometimes he'll be going anywhere, at least go into the paint and at least like throw the ball up for it. Like, you're probably gonna get fouled. You're like a 90% free throw shooter. So I mean, it's automatic. You're gonna get 2 free throws. I'm like, stop being scared. Just like do it. And Lopez is really doing good work. I'm like, you wouldn't see Tyson Chandler be doing what he was doing. So I'm like, I'm glad. So, I mean, Lopez with the hook shot and then so much patience. It was a play in the Heat game. He was in the paint. I thought he was going to get called for a 3-second call, but nope. Patience. And then he just flipped it up and it went in. So I'm like, and then I think before why Lopez like kind of was struggling and he wasn't playing down the stretch. I don't think Fisher was using him correctly because, I mean, they would give him the ball out of his position. Now you see that they give him the ball in his right spot, and now he's operating perfectly now. Before it was, like, out of position, and he's, like, 15 feet away, and he's trying to back his man down. That's not what he did. He has to be in the low post, low block, and then just go to work and does his little hook shot, and it's good to go.
Yeah, one quick question on what's your thoughts as far as what you saw from the start of the season to what it is now, and is it meeting your expectations, Anthony? And then after that, we'll go back to Knickerbocker and then on to Jeremy, or Chris if he wants to add on any points. But any thoughts as far as what you're seeing thus far or what you see the Knicks as of right now versus what you saw in late October, early November?
I think they're playing like a little bit like more better. Like than they was in the beginning, because they'll play good, and then they'll play like what happened. Like you was playing well, and then everything wasn't like meeting like expectations. Everything wasn't like going too well, and now it's like this. It's like a consistency. It's more consistent, and it's more consistency. I didn't expect now for them to be like have this like being good. I didn't expect them to have like three straight games. They shooting like above like 40% or 50%. Like it was like that was so much better. And then I think the X factor is like a Aflalo, because if he's not on, then the team is like probably not gonna win because they need that other score and they need a second option. So I think it's just a matter of, like, it's more better on consistency and flow with the players.
All right. We'll go back to the infamous Knickerbocker Av to add on any points. Yeah, it's fun. It's ironic that all the Knicks fans here on this platform right now have said similar things. The Knicks fan knows his basketball. He understands that. I think the key piece, and we shout-outs to our dude Bryce who brought that up, and I totally agree with that, Aaron Aflalo, man. It's like it's night and day the way the Knicks have operated when he's in the flow of the offense, not chucking up threes. I mean, it's not that the threes were bad. He was wide open. But he's more of like a poor man's Allen Houston in that 15-foot range, man. He's been very good if they stuck with that game plan. But let's go back to Knickerbocker Av. And Av, I got to ask, man, like the interior defense. I'm going to keep on harping on it all season long because, I mean, you swap out Amari Stoudemire, you swap out Andrea Bargnani, you replace it Robin Lopez and Kristaps Porzingis. It was a block party on South Beach by the New York Knicks, you know? And that's another thing I see that's big. You know, like there was that block on Deng, I think it was. And there was blocks in the Hawks game. But, Av, what would you want to speak on the defense and anything else you would like to add on the fan forum?
Well, the two biggest things that the Knicks have been over the last year and a half, I'm talking about partially this season and all of last season, that we've been always harping on is the perimeter defense and how that was always a big issue. Well, throughout this season so far, you know, we're, 37 games into the season now, the Knicks are one of the best perimeter defensive teams in the league, but they still lack a high level of consistency in the interior, but their blocks have gone up. You know, as a team, their rebounding numbers, they're starting to out-muscle and out rebound teams in the interior, and they're limiting the points in the paint when their defense is really going, when they're really paying attention and they're really engaged. Because I think that's the key thing here, especially like in the Chicago game, they weren't engaged at all; they were gassed. In the two Atlanta games and in tonight's game, you saw them very engaged. They were denying the interior pretty much all night because Hassan Whiteside really couldn't get off. It's hard as hell to keep Chris Bosh out of the interior to begin with. So there were a lot of moments where Bosh was denied because he was either being double-teamed by Lopez and Porzingis or he met Melo and Aflalo. Even from the little guy to the tallest guy, they were playing that good team defense, and that's what has been getting us to the dance in terms of giving us huge leads
And now they're starting to put more and more quarters together, which is huge. And it's all because of the fact that their interior defense has improved. They're denying the point guard from cutting into the lane and penetrating and being able to cause havoc to, you know, to our defense. They're keeping guys in front of them. They're boxing guys out. They're doing the little things. It's very, you know, a lot of those things don't show up on the score on any box score. But if there was a stat for box outs, Porzingis and Lopez and even Kyle Quinn at times, and we all know Melo's been doing it a whole lot more, they would be up there in terms of how many box outs they have, how many, you know, how many putbacks did they get, how many times did they deny the lane. If there was a stat for those things, they would be lighting it up because tonight they showed that. And that's why we're running this three-game winning streak.
How important has it been for the interior defense, Evan? And we'll go on to the next caller. But as far as the point guards trying to do their best off of screen and roll situations at the top of the key, I think that's another thing. They've been fighting for their position, trying not allow point guards to get deep in the paint, so guys don't be out of position and players don't have to rotate. What's your thoughts on that aspect of why the defense has been effective, of maybe the perimeter guys holding their own on the outside?
Well, I think it's kind of obvious now. I mean, if you remember any of the Knicks telecasts on MSG, anytime you hear Walt talk about it, he would mention the fact that the Knicks are playing defense with their feet or with their hands. You know, they're not playing efficient defense. Well, now, you know, through this three-game winning streak, they're fighting over screens. They're not cheating on defense. They're not getting called. You notice how many calls they're getting, for fouls. They're not getting that many, you know, stupid ticky-tack fouls and reach-ins and things like that because they're keeping the guy in front of them and they're playing the game honestly and straight up. That's what good defense would do. If you keep your guy in front of you, then there's nothing you can do other than pull up. You know, if you give him enough room, you'll pull up a jumper, and then on top of that, with that happening, along with the interior defense, you're limiting your opposition to just one shot per possession instead of, you know, two or three, and then eventually the defense will collapse, and then you get hit with a big three-pointer, giving the team momentum, and then they can go on a run. That's not happening. The Knicks are staying honest, they're staying efficient, and they're showing you grit. I know there's somebody out there that's using the term grit tape, but they're showing you a lot of the grit, a lot of the efficiency on the perimeter, on the interior, all the way around, and a lot of good help defense. And that's what's constituting this win streak. Even in close games that we lost, I can remember, like, you know, a couple of games where they lost. Where they showed good defensive efficiency and they showed you that grit, but they didn't stay consistently. You have to do that for all four quarters, all 48 minutes, and it's got to be all 8, 9, 10 guys that Fisher puts out there. And luckily, he's been playing the right guys at key situations on defense to limit the opposition from, you know, to one shot per possession. And of course, limiting the turnovers. That was another big key thing that I noticed as well.
Yeah, they have done a great job limiting those turnovers. A great point on that too, Av. This is the Fan Forum. The Knicks fans are happy. The stakeholders of this platform we call the Bleed Blue Show. Let's bring on another call. We'll go back around, but let's bring on another call. Let's bring on our dude, Bryce. I know he's happy. Congrats, Chief, on the win. How you doing?
Yo, Happy New Year, fellas. What's the good word?
Happy New
Year.
Happy
New Year, my brother.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, man. Good, man. Great win by the Knicks tonight, man. And Knickerbocker Ave was just on fire making great points, man. Great points. Yo, you know what the stat – I mean, the defense was sensational tonight. And, you know, the Knicks – when they do move their feet and when they play to their length, which now the team has a lot of good length and some athleticism in the interior, they can really be a force defensively. But the stat that really stood out to me tonight, 3 for 8 from threes. They only took 8 threes, whereas the Heat, 2 for 17. You know, we've seen a lot of this from the Knicks shooting a whole bunch of threes, which, okay, if you can shoot, that's good, but it can make for a herky-jerky offense. You saw the Knicks tonight. You saw what the benefits of system basketball can do when you got guys, even when you're not shooting a lot of threes, but they're getting their shots in rhythm. You've shortened the rotation. Guys know their role, and they can get to the basket, make plays, shoot those free throws. Knicks shoot a high percentage now. You just saw what good system basketball can do to a team that, quite frankly, had dominated us the past two games. You know, we beat them at their own game tonight. We only shoot 8 threes and score almost 98 points. That means your mid-range game is on point. And so that was great to see from the Knicks.
Yeah, definitely. And what about your thoughts on you? We harped at your own point as far as the key of Flalo, especially what he brought to the Hawks on Sunday. And it's kind of a carryover to how he's playing more closer than away from the perimeter. What's your thoughts on Aaron Aflalo's play, too? Because you made a good point, too, on the Fan Forum a few weeks ago about that.
Well, I think, you know, yeah, you're just starting to see that Aaron Aflalo is a guy. You know, he's like, well, he's clearly our best guard, but he's a true NBA guard, which is, you know, he can shoot it from the perimeter, but he's also very physical on the inside, and he can get his shot off, and then he'll defend on the other end. So he's a difficult matchup for a lot of guards because he does a lot of the little things right in terms of making you work. He plays very hard night in and night out. He's very consistent. So, you know, he's the guy that's, you know, while Melo's the anchor and you got Kristaps is the highlight guy with all the skill, quietly, you know, the engine that's making the offense go, really, I believe, is going to be Aaron Aflalo because he's our best guard. And when he plays well, you know, he puts a lot of pressure on teams and Melo looks for him. So then when you double Melo and Melo's getting it to him, he's hitting shots. It's just another threat out there you got to worry about. So it's great to see him continuing to play well.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's good points. Let's go back around to Jeremy. Jeremy, anything else you'd like to add from tonight's game? Also, that keys that we have not said thus far on this Fan Forum. And fire away. And anything you want to add on to other points, too?
I agree 100% with what Bryce said. That some good words spoken. Now, compared to before, what we would win 4 and lose 4, I don't know how many times now. We're showing more confidence in our shot selection. Like, every shot we take, we're showing more confidence in where we're supposed to take that shot. Like, that's due to spacing. Our guys know where we're supposed to be. Like, I believe Nick about to add said, Robin Lopez is getting the ball around the block more often and passing it like an actual triangle. When they open triangle, Carmelo gets it on the block. He has his little isolation jumpers, and he fed off of Justin Winslow today. So it's just our shot selection is looking much better, and that's what ultimately killed us before. You know, before when there was a whole bunch of questionable shots, when the second unit came in from Nathan Galloway and Lance Thomas, it was more wild before, but our shot selection has looked so much better. A little more confident because it's looked better.
And Jeremy, let me ask you this, and then before we go back to Marlo, what about Kristaps Porzingis? He was a guy earlier in the season. We know defensively he's been very good with us. He's a top rookie defensively. But what about his shot selection has been pretty good, especially knowing that he's not forcing a lot of threes. He's in the paint more. He's 7'3", for God's sake. I think he's really understanding that he doesn't have to be always in the perimeter. I mean, he has a sweet shot. He can make that shot. But him going on the block, you know, as far as his ability to put the ball in the hole because of his length. What's your thoughts on Porzingis' shot selection the last couple of games, too? And then we'll go to Marlon.
I think his mindset right now is he's still trying to decide whether he wants to take to the basket or shoot back. He's capable of doing both, but I think he needs to transition to that NBA mindset. I mean, he's 7'3". When you're 7'3", with that type of wingspan, you're in the paint. But so far, he's getting good shots. I mean, he still has that soft touch around the basket. I actually want to see him get some more open jumpers and spread out the defense a little bit more and get some better spacing. But he's still transitioning. So he's still a rookie. He's still 20 years old. And he needs some growth. He needs that seasoning. He's getting it little by little.
All right, cool. Let's go on back around to Marlo. Marlo, anything you want to add? And I also have your thoughts on Aflalo and Porzingis offensively. Anything you like to add? And anything you like to add on Aaron Aflalo and Porzingis offensively?
I just want to add another stat right off of what Bryce was saying. Not only did we do well against Miami with the three, They said that this is the highest shooting percentage of any opposing team against Miami so far this year. And that's showing the triangle working, you know, in these type of situations, especially when you have when you buy into it and all the frequent passes and everything that they've been doing. Now, what I also got to give credit to is the coaching staff, because the Knicks are doing things that are a little bit differently. I mean, not only is Melo like a different player, you're noticing the more either, you know, with Calderon being more aggressive, Aaron Afalo still being involved, because that last four-game losing streak, Aaron Afalo really wasn't involved in the offense at all. And that's what hurt us, I believe, in that last losing streak. And also, I'm seeing Melo and Derek Williams almost making a conscious effort now to try to at least drive to the basket. I mean, Melo still shoots and D. Will still shoots, but they're still attacking the basket. And like they said, when you attack the basket, sometimes when it comes to fouls, they give you more the benefit of the doubt that you're the one who didn't initiate. I mean, Melo still's not getting calls, and there's still some questionable stuff, but at least with him getting to the basket, he's getting to the free throw line a lot more often because he's not just settling for jumpers. You can't keep settling for jumpers, you know. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. We're not Golden State East Coast. You know, they can get away with that, but the Knicks, they can. You got to sometimes mix that up a bit. And the Knicks have been doing it. And same thing with Robin Lopez with this with the hook shot he's been doing. He's really been working on it. And so, you know, those are, like, just real good things I'm seeing. Now, as far as the follow-up, I've always been high on him. And, cause, you know, I knew what he was capable of, and I thought he was a really good chip. And I think it helps a lot, too, that he's someone that's friends with Melo, but he's a more mature friend. You know, he knew Melo back in the day when Melo was, like, his first started out when they were in Denver. And plus, you know, not only that, he's played with Melo, and he's played with Robin Lopez. So there's chemistry already there in between at least three of your starters. And so he's almost like a bridge to that, which is good. And but his offense is something that you need, because you need that at least that second consistent scorer, and Melo knows that he could depend on this guy, unlike JR, who's always hot and cold. Afalo's a little bit more stable. And Kristaps has been great, because he's learning so much. I mean, he still shoots the three and they don't always go in, but he doesn't get fazed by anything. That's one of the things I was so impressed by this guy. Even when they booed him from draft night, he does not get fazed. He doesn't back down, and he always looks for ways to adjust his game. He's added a lot of dimension to his game, and more importantly, after, I'm telling you, that I think the first preseason game, he got into foul trouble. He really hasn't been into foul trouble after that, because he's learned to, and he really doesn't have to jump. He already has the length. Just stand there. You know, and with him and Rolo, Robin Lopez being 7 feet, him being 7'3", they're just trees. Because, again, you know, like Bryce was saying, too, there's a lot of length now on the Knicks. So, you know, you guys, you know, so they told KP, just stretch your arms out, man. You don't have to do too much. You'll alter the shot, if anything. And that's what he's been doing. And so I'm just very impressed with both of them. I'm just very impressed with the team overall. And I'm very impressed that they're doing this before even half of the season. So I'm really hoping that this continues before All-Star break and after.
And also, Porzingis shooting very well from the line. I think he's, what, at 80, high 80s on the free throw line?
Oh, he's almost automatic from the free throw line.
Love it. Love it. I think they only missed one free throw all night. They shot the well from the line tonight. They shot very well from the line.
They're a good free throw shooting team. I mean, Nick Baca asked, fact check me on this, but I think they said this is the best free throw shooting team the Knicks had, period.
Yeah. Well, they are the number one free throw shooting team in the NBA. They missed one tonight, 17 for 18. And I'm still looking into I'll fact check to see if this is the best of all time, but I seriously doubt it. I mean, talk about there were times when we had guys like Derek Harper and like Gary Grant and shit. So, like, we had some like knockdown free throw shooters, but I'll look into it.
Oh, okay. Cool. Let's go back to Anthony. Anthony, get your points as far as anything else. Is there any adjustments you would like to see better than what we're already running right now? Anything you'd like to see improved on the floor? Even whether it was tonight, a past game, even going into the Spurs game on Friday, like, how would you like to see or Shake improve this thing of building off the back-to-back wins, especially Atlanta and Miami?
No, I don't think that, you know, anything of improvement. Like, I think just maybe, like, if it's allowable, maybe just a little bit more like a Grant and KP pick and roll, because I mean I would like to see that a little bit more, because I think it would get KP going a little bit, and also Grant, and he might gain some confidence, and he'll maybe be able to, won't be tentative, and he'll cut to the basket and try to get to the line or something. So, but other than that, I think everything is I think everything works, like what's been going on with this three-game win streak, because every point that everyone made makes so much sense. It's just it's great. Everything's clicking and it's working. And so, and Aflalo has been good. And I always liked Aflalo too, like, because I know he's played defense. And then he was known for a defensive specialist when he first came into the league. And now he's like this offensive guy that's, you know, he's offense and defense. So, and then also, he does know Melo. And I like that it's more chemistry that goes with the team. So I think that makes that works as well too. Kristaps is doing good as well. I mean, especially with him showing a little bit more like post moves. Like he stepped away from the three a little bit. So I mean, he'll still take them, you know, because he can still stretch the floor. But I like that he's in the paint more, because in the second when we play Atlanta again in Atlanta, he had I think two plays when he had his back to the basket, and then he made like a post hook shot. I was like, oh, nice. So I mean, I would like to see him do that more. And then he's excellent from the line. So, and I like when we have, like, because we got Rolo and Kristaps down there. It's like the Twin Towers down there. We got to just commandeer the paint and lock it down, you know. So, and then also with Melo, because he's becoming such a complete player. I like that because I love when he passes the ball. So, I mean, he always passes the ball, but it's the fact that he makes the pass and he's trusting his teammates to make the shot. Mm-hmm. And then, so, and then also the fact that he could average 5 assists. He can definitely average 5 assists, and he's had like almost like triple double games. So he can definitely average most of that. And then 25 points, five plus assists. He'll get your rebound here and there. Well, he'll always rebound, you know. Pretty good.
Okay. One more quick question for you, Anthony. We'll go back to Bryce.
Yeah.
What about your thoughts on Derek Williams? I mean, he played 18-19 minutes tonight. I mean, he's real efficient, 13 points, 8 boards. I thought a very solid line coming off the bench. What's your thoughts on Derek Williams of late?
Yeah, I like Derek Williams. Like, when we signed him, I was just like, oh, he's looking into Derek Williams? Interesting. I'm like, okay. So, but now he's seems like he found his role, like, now. I mean, he needs to get consistent, because he's that player. He, like, when we signed him, I'm like, he's that complimentary player by Melo, because he's also 6'8". And he also does the same thing that Melo does as well. He drives to the basket and gets and goes to the line. Either he's gonna draw the foul or he's gonna get it both and get an and one. So I like the game that he played as well. And Milwaukee, the season opener, he played 18 minutes and he scored, I think, what, 24 points in that game. So
yes,
I'm just
did.
Like, he needed to continue like getting 18 to like 20 minutes or so, or more than that, because I mean he's a capable scorer, and then he's that spark plug off the bench, along with because like I think a few forums ago that someone mentioned that he needs to play alongside like a Aflalo or KP, so he can be a secondary option with the second unit, and we've been seeing a little bit of that, and I think that does work. So I think he needs to get consistent minutes, so because we need him out there on the floor, especially for the second, because he gets that punch and he always finishes too. Alley-oops and athleticism. Mm. I wanted us to have like a guy that's athletic for so long that could just be on the highlight plays, and you know, we could just all go crazy about it.
Absolutely. We'll go back to Bryce. Bryce, what's your thoughts on Derek Williams as well? And also the chemistry between Carmelo Anthony and Derek Williams on the floor together, as far as the dimension they bring offensively, and then you add on a five like Porzingis in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I really like about Derek Williams, I know people had some reservations about his defense. But what you see is, while he may not be the best defender, I always see great effort from that guy. He comes in and brings in a lot of energy, and I think that's what you need on a team like the Knicks, that, you know, particularly in the backcourt, I know we kind of harp on this, but where they don't have the elite talent, you need a guy that's going to bring some athleticism and bring energy to try to force the pace a little bit. And I like the way he does that. And I think Melo's a guy who appreciates that and knows, okay, this guy's going to come in, provide a spark, and he's a shot maker. So let me go ahead and get him the ball, because he'll help space the floor and give Melo more room to work as well. So, you know, I think he's been a good pickup so far, because I like the effort and energy he brings. I never really worry about Derek Williams coming in and not giving maximum effort. He might get beat sometime, and sometimes he might miss some shots, but the effort will always be there. And, you know, years past, guys, you know how it is. That's not always been a given. It's good for it to be a given with the players that they've got on the team now.
You have any thoughts on the Lance Thomas and his minutes, his he's not going to lie you every night, but he's like effective. He's like a glue piece. What's your thoughts on Lance Thomas over the last several games, or even this season, of his development as far as being in the lineup, and especially Fisher trusting him?
Man, I mean, personally, I mean, I can't speak for everyone else on the call, but I really, really like Lance Thomas. I mean, how many NBA players are going to really up their game and work on it the way he has to be able to do the things he can do better this season that he couldn't do last season? I mean, guys like that can be very valuable, and he's got good size, good length, and he will defend. I mean, you need guys, role players on your team like Lance Thomas. And I believe if you go back to a lot of the championship teams, you can find Lance Thomas-type guys on those teams. So if you want to build winners, you need players like Lance Thomas that just play the right way. Again, sometimes he can be infuriating because he may not be the most athletic guy, and he may go into little slumps or what have you. But overall, I really like what he brings to the team. And the Knicks have not had guys like this in a long time, guys that just know fundamental basketball, high basketball IQ, and come in and can make the right plays.
Yeah, he plays hard and he plays smart. He doesn't do a lot of dumb stuff. You can see his energy. But he plays under control. That's what I love about him. I'll go back around to Nick Ibaka. Same question for you on Lance Thomas. And I know you have a lot to say since the last couple of games, Nick Ibaka. Anything else you'd like to add, but your thoughts on Lance Thomas as well?
Well, I've always liked Lance Thomas. Ever since we acquired him last year as part of the trade, and he got signed to a 10-day contract, I've always been a big fan of him. I love the fact that he put in so much work, effort, and time into improving his game, improving his shot, and becoming more and more of an all-around player. Over the last couple of games, I have seen his minutes go down, and that's in favor of Derek Williams. I think that's a very good thing for Lance Thomas, because now you have two dynamic guys who can do a little bit of everything. Because Lance Thomas can rebound. We now know he can score. All of a sudden, he can hit threes. And he's an okay defender. I mean, he's not going to be a lockdown, shutdown guy. But when it comes down to crunch time, you want somebody like him to be there. So, overall, I'm very happy with what Lance Thomas has been able to do so far this season. I hope it just continues and progresses. Because overall, if he improves, that just means the team's going to improve, because other guys are going to follow his example and do what he did to get the minutes that Derek Fisher is giving him. Overall, with the rest of the team, Robin Lopez, Derek Williams, Aaron Aflalo, and of course, a good old number seven. Hey, if they continue to play together and play more efficient basketball, put four quarters together, limit the turnovers, I don't see why this team cannot make the playoffs. I'm not talking about seeds. I know everybody's always been saying 7th, 8th seed. I really don't care. I just want to get in. But the reason I'm not going to say a seed is because I'm not going to limit this team to 7 or 8. Hey, if we can go higher than that, that just means that this team is where we've always envisioned this team to be. This is where we always optimistically felt that they should have been. That's what we want to see. I mean, so let's just hope that this 3-game winning streak is not just, one of those winning streaks that gets followed by a 4- or 5-game losing streak, and then we're just back to negative .500 again.
I understand where you're coming from with that, because that's kind of what I was thinking about too, Av, because that goes back to Fisher. The win three, lose four, win two, lose three. You know, we got to get back on a little bit of a roll starting in 2016. Av, one more quick question for you, Av, and we'll go back around for final thoughts to get everybody's final thoughts. And you can take your time. Anything you want to sign off on the Knicks, the rest of the NBA, however you want to thought. But Av, were you surprised that the Knicks actually played a good complete four quarters of NBA basketball? Because I really thought, as a Knicks fan all these years, I thought they would have came out flat. A big win versus Atlanta on Sunday, a big win versus Atlanta on Tuesday, flew into Miami early Wednesday morning. I'm pretty sure they partied, had a good time. You're not going to see that on the media, but that's how these things happen in the NBA. But to come and beat the Heat the way they did after back-to-back night, were you a little surprised to play a complete four quarters of basketball, especially closing it out the way they did? Because they kind of let Atlanta back in the game on Tuesday. But they didn't. Miami was no threat tonight. So are you a little surprised? I am. I want to get everybody's thoughts on that.
I'll be real with you. Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I wasn't like completely shocked. But I felt like this. I think somebody else tweeted this out. This is for the first time in a while we've had three or four straight games, and you haven't had the urge to want to punch your TV. Because the Knicks are finally kind of getting into a rhythm and getting into the habit of closing out games and putting four solid quarters on the court. I'm not saying we should be winning every quarter. Of course, that should be the goal anyway. You should win every quarter so that way you can give you a chance to win a game. But if you're competitive, you're giving the effort. If you're putting out 100% and you still lose, there's no shame in that. But if you're not giving your effort, like in that Chicago game where they were gassed in the fourth quarter, that's when you have to hang your head down. You're like, what the hell just happened? I can't believe I actually sat through that game. You know, that's when you start to question your fandom sometimes. But was I surprised? A little bit, but at the same time, I'm not so surprised because this team is capable of doing it. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. And, you know, now we have 18 wins. We surpassed our last year's total. So that should just tell you that going forward, this team should be able to put together four consecutive quarters. And now on back-to-back nights against elite teams in this league, there shouldn't be an excuse why the effort should not be there. We're not expecting them to win every single game, but we're expecting them to at least play hard and giving us something to be like, you know what, they tried. Because last year we didn't get that. I mean, last year we were like, damn, they weren't even there. They didn't even show up. I think they were still on the plane. I think they left their coat check or something. That's how it felt last year. You know, my final thought is that, you know, on to the next one. San Antonio's Friday night. And let's just hope.
Hold on, we'll come back around to you. Hold on, Av. We'll come back around to you for that. Don't worry about that. We got you. Hold on.
Guys.
Hold that thought. Hold on. We'll bring back on Jeremy. Jeremy, let's get some final thoughts from tonight's win and also moving on to San Antonio. And our next fan forum is going to be next Tuesday versus the Boston Celtics. But a final thoughts, Jeremy, on tonight's win and anything else you'd like to add to the fan forum?
Well, I mean, tying together as a team, they look like they're cooperating and trusting each other better and better every night. And I think this can easily be the biggest win of the 2015-2016 season for the Knicks. I mean, there was a lot of things that, like, a back-to-back night. I mean, they just got finished beating a tough Atlanta team twice. And then the next day, they traveled to Miami to face an electric Miami team who got Chris Bosh playing like he was back in Toronto. And then you got Hassan Whiteside, the leader in blocks, Dwayne Wade playing like classic Dwayne Wade. I mean, this is a good Miami team. And you're on a back-to-back night. Look at Chicago. When we beat Chicago, they were tired from playing back-to-back. But, you know, we're mentally tougher. We got this easy win because this game looked like an easy win. We look completely confident in this game. And we're sending a mark. I mean, this is a prime time win. And we got 18 wins now compared to last season's 17 wins. And it's proud. It's a proud thing. I'm sure Fish is proud of his team. And now they get to rest Thursday before going to San Antonio to play a tough San Antonio team. But we got the size and we got the length. I mean, if we play the same way we played today, we can give them a run for their money in that home winning streak, 21 game streak. We could give them a run for their money. I'm pretty confident in that. So we're trending in the right direction. I just want to see more consistency.
All right, cool, man. Shout-outs to Jeremy. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a good follow, watching the Knicks. Jeremy NYK, cover 456. Shout-outs to Jeremy. Thank you very much, man, calling into the Fan Forum, repping our Knicks, man. Let's go Marlo, your final thoughts, and then we'll go to Anthony and Bryce. Marlo, your final thoughts on this game and moving forward, and then we'll go to Anthony.
Yeah, I just want to say Chris Herring of the Wall Street Journal, he tweeted these things out because he asked Melo about what changed lately, and Melo says the Chicago loss embarrassed the team and forced them to double down. That kind of loss eats you up. And then he goes on to say Lopez, Galloway, and Melo all said the players had a conversation recently about how they handle fourth quarters. Said they reached a conclusion they need to move the ball better and cut down on late game ISO to increase the odds of winning in clutch scenarios. See, that's what I saw about this team. They don't like accepting defeat. They don't look happy in losses. And I know that might sound crazy referring that to professional athletes, but there's a lot of professional athletes, Dwight Howard, who no matter what are always smiling, oh, everything's going to be better, it's going to be better tomorrow. You want a team who is bothered by losing, and these guys are. That just shows you the type of grit this team has. And, you know, you just got to hope this thing continues. And same thing with, like, you know, just a little bit about Derek Williams. You know, he's almost like a Andre Iguodala coming off the Golden State bench. Not exactly, of course, but, you know, you need almost like a starter from another team. If you get him coming off your bench, that could really spark things. I mean, I still feel that O'Quinn should get a few more minutes. I know they closed down the rotation, but you know, and Derek Fisher had to try to get into Derek Williams' head that, hey, you're not going to get any minutes unless you play defense, and that's paid off because he's very engaged in the defensive end. So, you know, again, I'm just hoping that this feeling continues, and if they're at this stage before the break of the All-Star game, after the All-Star game, this team should be up and running. And, you know, I just can't wait to see what the Knicks do to close out the first half and how they start over in the second half. I think we're all going to be surprised, and they're going to surprise a lot of other people on the way.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, Marlo, for consistently calling into the Blue Blue Show, repping our Knicks. I love getting your take on after wins, especially. Losses, too, because you'd be pissed off like all Knicks fans. But, man, I can't thank you enough, Drago NYC on Twitter, man. Great follow, always talking Knicks and shutting down the trolls. The Knicks, hashtag Knicks trolls. We haven't had to do a lot of hashtag Knicks inflate this year. That's a good thing, though. Let's go to final thoughts from Anthony. Anthony, real quick, your final thoughts, and we'll go on to Bryce and back to Adam. So we got a couple minutes. Anthony, real quick, final thoughts.
I agree. Like, yeah, that Chicago game was like, I think that was the game that just that they was just so upset about their play in the fourth quarter, only scoring 8 points. So it just lit a fire under them. So they just wanted to prove themselves. Like, we got to stop doing this. We got to play 48 minutes of basketball. So we got to play and we got to end out each quarter strong. And I like that. What I've been seeing too is like when they play in the game. They'll probably let the team back in to the they probably let them get a run going, like almost the quarter's not almost over, but then the Knicks will go on a run and then they'll end the quarter or the half out strong, and then they have the momentum going into halftime, so, and then they come out and then, you know, do the rest of the game. So I mean, it's coming together, and I like, and then I mean, they got a good win against two good teams, so and especially the Hawks, they was a top team last year. They was the top of the East, and then they beat them. And then the Heat, and also I think they're good in the defensive standings as well. A good defensive team, and then they wasn't really involved that much. Like, we kept them at bay, and then so I mean it looks good. And especially, and then I really hope that we win on.
Hold on, we gotta get going, man. We gotta get cut off real quick. Let me move on to Bryce. Go ahead, Anthony. Right. But thank you for calling in. We shout you out. And call in the next fan forum. We'll be on next Tuesday versus Boston. Bryce, real quick, man. We're about to get cut off. Final thoughts. Like 15 seconds.
Yo, I'll keep it real. Good win for the Knicks. I think their best is yet to come.
Oh, man. Thank you very much, Bryce. Shout outs to all the calls. Ab, real quick, tell everybody how to find your content, man.
Just from the Facebook page for the Blue Blue Show, and you'll get a hold of me. Trust me.
Oh man! Shout outs to all the guys. Shout outs to Jeremy, Marlo, Anthony, Bryce, Nickabaka, Av, Chris, myself. BleeBlueShow.com. This episode will be on BleeBlueShow.com/podcast, iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn apps, and Stitcher app. Download the episode. Share this episode with knowledgeable Knicks fans to hear other knowledgeable Knicks fans talk Knicks basketball after wins and losses. Man, the Blee Blue Show. The only way we could do it, man. We're out of time. Sangre Azul. We're out of time.
No.
Sangre Azul. I said Sangre Azul.
Can you dig it?
There we go.
Can you dig it?
I can't.
Can you dig it?
Blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue.